Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 676. This is your host, Danny. And this is going to be a very, very special episode of Gamertag Radio. We recorded this during the screening of The Messengers, a podcast documentary live in New York City. There was a lot of friends and family there, and also the GTR community also got invited to be part of this event. So they got to see the movie, and they had Q&A. They had Q questions for us, for not only for me, but also for the executive producer and also the director of the movie. So I'm going to play this right now, and once we come back, we're going to end the show. So check it out.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
What I saw subliminally is how you guys broke barriers of race and all the ignorance that we see today in life. And there was a lady, she said that, like, her stereotypes and things that she used to look at, she don't even look at it no more, simply because of podcasting and connecting with people. And look at all of us here. So what my question for you is, how has this movie made y'all better individuals?
Wow. Starting off strong.
Yeah, I'll tell you one moment that touched us. Lee Silverstein, his son is in the house with his fiancée. Where are you? Stand up. Let's see where Lee's family is here. Let's give a round of applause. He just got engaged, by the way. So I want you to hear this because you hear this about your dad. So Lee married Linda about a few years ago, right? So they're newlyweds. And Neil and I were just asking him things, and we're talking about, you know, how much he loves his wife. And it turns out that every day Lee leaves a post-it note for his wife telling her that he loves her every day. Every day. And one day he left it somewhere where she didn't know to look, and she was distraught. And, you know, we're talking, it was an interview, but I looked at Neil and I said, you know, I'm a terrible husband. Like, you know, like, it just makes you think about when you have a human being that's of that quality, it has to rub off on you, because you realize, like, the things that we fight about or the things that we get upset about don't mean anything when here he is, stage four, thriving, working out, inspiring other people, and at the same time, every day leaving a love note for his wife. So that's one moment that struck me between the eyes. I'll let you, if you want, Christy or whatever moment.
Actually, I have one I've never really shared because your question was so great. You made me think of a moment that didn't make the movie but made me better. Oh, yeah. So people... When we went to Guatemala, we were actually there for a missionary trip, and we were interviewing people, and it got to the point that the cameraman and I got tired of shooting because we were watching them serve these people and build stoves in their little tin houses. So we went in and we started helping them instead of working. And when I, to show the power of film and how they see you as an outlet, one lady, as I went to interview her, a very old lady, cooks over an open fire that will probably kill her from all that soot, sets me aside, and I'm interviewing her, right? I got her in my viewfinder, and she's begging me to tell her story so that the cavalry will come, so that her little baby that she's a grandson that she's now looking after because the dad and mom passed away from the open fire, the negativity.
For breathing all the breathing smoke that and in, the charcoal.
That we please tell her story so that people will donate or come and help and save them. And she saw us as a savior. And I started crying. I could barely interview her, right? And when you ask how it made me better is when I came home, I just stopped complaining about all the stuff I don't want. Like, running water was impossible to find. And it just made me better because of her story. It made me feel like there's people going through so much more than our worst day. And that was like one of the most powerful moments for me personally.
And we captured that. We did capture that. We made a podcast about the movie. Like I said, following, you have to listen to that episode. Yeah. Because it was an unexpected payoff of the power of what happened, and it's very emotional. And you were born in Venezuela, so there's the Spanish language and the connection that you had with the people.
It was very powerful.
Well, for me, I got a little emotional back there because, half my family here. And, the thing is, too, that a lot of them they don't understand the podcast and Gamertag Rare and everything. So it's cool. I have my friends and family here. So thanks. I'm trying to control myself here. But just that. And now, I feel like I'm hungry again. I'm always promoting and trying to get the word out about the podcast and the movie, too, with Neil and Chris. So I'm very excited to see what's going to happen once this releases to the masses and stuff. So, but it's good to get feedback from you and everybody else. So
but you thanks. Brought it to your hometown, and thank you for bringing us with you.
Yeah. God bless you. Thank you, Denny.
That was an awesome film. Definitely awesome film. I feel like I'm just starting out. This is a podcasting question. I just added a co-host 6.5 years into podcasting. I struggle with having a team, creating a team. And Danny mentioned to me a long time ago is try to find somebody that you can relate to and you feel that you can trust to get on board with you because you can't keep doing the podcast by yourself. Mm-hmm. So around episode 340, I added a co-host. So now I'm learning all over again, doing the double enders and all those different things. My question is, what can I do to fast track building the camaraderie with her, because she lives in Hawaii, and I've known her for a while, so I'm trying to figure out how to get that balance.
For those that don't know, my co-hosts, I met them through online Xbox Live. We play all the time and everything, and we never met. And then eventually, years later, we got together. We became really good friends, and because of that, now we make the podcast even better. I know what they're going to say. I know when they're going to stop. I know when someone's going to cough and I have to edit that part out. little things like that. And like Glenn was said in the movie, he said that go on a vacation with your co-host to see if it's going to work out. I'm always out with my crew and I'm always having a blast. So if I'm having fun, they're having fun, we're good. So I think that's going to make the podcast even better,
I don't know if there's a way to fast track a relationship. I think it's just focus on that relationship more. Text more, call more, talk when you're not doing the show, find out what their belief system is. You really can't fast track, like Chris and I, I'll just see really briefly, is we've built our relationship. I tell you, we can make another movie right now with our eyes closed together, like the trust, but that didn't happen fast. That happened when I was in Guatemala and couldn't call him for help. That happened when he came through when I didn't think he could. That happened when I delivered for him when he didn't think I would. So that took 10 months for us to sit here like co-hosts. So just invest in that person. And I think fast tracking isn't as important as delivering down the road.
Yeah, communication is the key.
Yeah. Just a side note, when Glenn the Geek does his show, his podcast is live, so it's like live radio through the internet. He has about 30,000 people listen daily on the horse, horse radio?
Horse radio. Horse radio. Right there, yeah.
No, but what's Horses in the Morning? Thank you, Alan. You knew exactly. Horses in the Morning. He has like 13 shows, by the way. But Horses in the Morning, how many?
14
now? I don't know. It changes every day. But Horses in the Morning is his Monday through Friday daily show. So just an interesting fun fact while we were filming. He talks to his co-host who's in Arizona via, is it Facebook Messenger? So they're talking via Facebook Messenger while they're talking. So they're also having side conversations to cue them up, like, okay, this guest is a snoozer, let's cut him off, or whatever it is. I don't know what they're saying, but you get what I'm saying. They're producing their show just like a radio show. I mean, we were very impressed with the production value. He takes it very seriously. So, don't think that some of these people just showed up and all of a sudden it all happened. They put a lot of hard work into it and they take their show very seriously. So we were very impressed with that. But you also have to have chemistry. I mean, Danny's two other hosts, they have a unique chemistry. You kind of saw Paris ripping into Danny.
Always doing
it. But that's part of their chemistry. So sometimes you can't, chemistry is something that just you have to have as well. Just like in a relationship. So you also have to sometimes figure out, is there chemistry here, is there not? Without that contrast, what does the listener get? So that's just something to ask yourself.
Got a question back here. If you guys have a question, just raise your hand so I can
see. Jessica has one up here, just in case you can't see her.
And she was in the movie, by the way.
Listen, by the way, he came from all the way from Baltimore.
Oh, Phoenix. Man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. One of our community members, man.
So this is, I guess it's a question and a statement. The first time we met was in 2008 in Seattle at PAX.
Yes.
When I first started podcasting, and Danny pulls me aside and was like, you have to be who you are. Because I was very timid at first, and now I'm the most opinionated geek on the podcast. and then the second time was when you had my community vibes in Miami.
That's one of our parties, yeah.
It was a blizzard back home in Baltimore. And this is the second time we met, and you opened your doors to me to stay with you or whatever I needed, you opened your door. So I don't think I quite ever said thank you for that, but thank you.
Because years later, that's
you know, good. But the next question would be is, how has this experience made you three bond more as a unit? Because, I mean, you spent a lot of time with each other making this film, editing, approving, disapproving. So how did this experience make the three of you become better friends?
Well, his dad was a New York City cabbie. So you mentioned that the movie was diverse. I don't want to seem like we did pick people, but we didn't do it intentionally. My family's from Greece. My mom came from Greece 19 years young, had me here in New York. I grew up a Long Island boy. So I come from a diverse background. All my friends were, you know, you grew up in New York, your friends are everything. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know Jews were a minority my whole, like, high school. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, all different people. So he comes from a Venezuelan background. Danny's from Dominican. So here I am. When we go to his house to film, his dad literally catered an entire... He brought in catering for all of us. It actually was difficult because they go, we just have a few family relatives, like 30 relatives in the house, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't invite every... It was almost
it's
like...
a Dominican thing, huh?
Like, we only invited some of our relatives. So then we're trying to find a place to shoot. And his dad speaks Greek. So he and his dad, we're talking Greek, like, straight up, because his dad worked in the restaurants here in New York City. So we bonded from that. And the funny part was we had to shoot outside. Well, Danny lives right by the Everglades. You know what it's like outside in the Everglades during, it was like almost summertime.
Yeah. What was it, May, April last year?
It was May 29th.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't remember.
Luckily they had a thing. They fogged the backyard or something and we were able
Skeetles, to everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And the shoot was great. But, I think it's those experiences that bond us together. And then Neil and I rented, and I'm glad that he and the crew forgive me for this, but I wanted to save money in the Florida Keys. So I found this place called the Boathouse Inn. And the Florida Keys is expensive anywhere you want to stay. This was high season. So it was like $99 a night. I'm like, that's really cheap compared to everything else. But as Neil would call it, it was a floating roach motel. And Willie, our other camera guy, found a condom in his sheets. So it was like really bad. So
roaches.
I mean, so now, yeah, I know it's gross, not looking, but I'm just you can't not bond. You either kill each other or you bond over certain things like that. So yeah. That has helped us. And when we were in Miami last week, yeah, hanging out with Danny. His brother is opening up a restaurant a mile from where Danny, yeah, held the theater premiere. So we all went after and had an after party. So it just, everything weaves in. I think I said in the movie, when you have the right people and they want to help other people, you got like 90% of the equation right there. Now you just put them together and you just, mm-hmm, you become family.
Yeah, these guys are like my brothers. And what's funny is I didn't know Danny when Chris assigned me to go follow him around California. I was just happy to go back home where I grew up in Southern California. I didn't even know who he was. And what's funny is as we ran around E3 and then I love games and we started talking and we both love hip hop and blah, 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 blah. And then the more and more we interact between the three of us and then how much he's done for the movie. So as far as like how it's bonded is we're way beyond friends at this point. This is family. This is Platano power, like you said in there. I want to just give Danny one last little piece of credit. When we were editing the film, like Chris said, we did let go of our editor and it was a really big task to take it over midstream, but he would come when no one else was around and he would check on me. He would call me in the middle of the night, make sure I was still awake and cutting, and literally get on at 4 a.m. and be like, don't go to sleep, this is going to be so worth it one day. Mm-hmm. Never thought I'd be sitting here in New York City.
He drove up to Tampa just to tell us, me and Neil. It's like, hey, you guys are gonna
don't
make
quit
it through, don't worry that your editor got cut, you'll make it happen. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
So while we're doubting ourselves, he's telling us, yeah, don't, I have no doubt in you. So what are you going to do when you have someone telling you not to doubt yourself? Just do it. So that's what we did.
And here we are.
Yeah. You know what? The thing is, since day one, I felt like I see the potential with this movie. That's why I was like, Neil, don't worry. I know we're going through a struggle right now with a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But trust me, it's going to be all worth it, man. So, you know, got you, man.
It was totally worth it. I just want to say thank you for featuring me. That was really, I'm honored to be in the movie. But I do have a question about it because, and just to give some background about being interviewed for this movie, for, you know, the people who are on the black screen, we were at a conference called PodFest, and they asked us if we'd like to be interviewed for, I mean, we didn't had no idea what it would turn into. We were just happy to share our thoughts. And I know how many people you must have asked that didn't make it in, because the list is at the end. So I saw a bunch of people that didn't make it. So I'm kind of curious, was choosing the footage that you did use kind of like choosing one of your children, like which one gets to live and which one, like, it must have been so painful.
What scenario is that where you have a live and die situation?
None. But I just mean, I know that it must have been, I want to know, like, it must have been so painful to say this snippet, not this snippet, this person, not this person.
You know, it's harder.
And then my follow-up question, once you answer that, is, is there any part of you that wants to make a sequel to this? Or are you so over it that you're like, I can't possibly look at my editing thing another minute?
So Neil followed me for like a whole week over there in LA for E3. And my God, we recorded so much stuff. He even mentioned to me, Danny, we could create like a separate GTR documentary. That's how much. So,
well, what I meant to share is that, like, my interview, even though I don't know how many minutes it is, it took a half hour just to get all that. So imagine 20 people all with a half hour. You can't make, you could never make that long of a movie. So, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a lot of this, man. So I mentioned about the Miami, what happened in Miami. We recorded at CBS Radio over there in Miami, Power 96. Yeah. And there's a lot of footage from there too that was really cool. Like, there was one part that got really emotional. Man, I get emotional sometimes.
Cried all the time.
No, so that was a really cool. I thought he was gonna pick that, and it wasn't in the films. But I don't know. He's been really picky with like what you choose.
Neil, I'll let Neil address this because there's a lot of footage. So here's what happened. We a normal interview, a location interview, like when we went to his house, could be an hour and 15 minutes. So I'm the interviewing, and I'm telling the crew, we're not leaving till I get everything out of this interview. And they're like, we want to go home. I'm like, I don't care. Keep reloading cards. We're going. Because you just don't know what you're going to use. You just really don't. So halfway through, we had made everybody cry. So that was like, great. Everybody cried, right? So he and I are looking at this, and we're like, we can't have a movie of everybody crying. Because you're not going to watch it. You might think you are, but you're not. You want to laugh. So then we switched gears and we're like, okay, how could we get funny stuff? We had to find funny. You know that part where you saw Neil and Glenn hip-hop duo up?
Yeah,
that's in your books. That was a complete mistake. What happened was, this is how we got that part. We didn't even know we recorded it. You remember when Glenn was reading that thing with the lady that had the guide dog? At the end, when he said she was also blind, all the crew, we started like tearing up and crying. And now it's a group of men like looking at each other like, should we be crying? And like everybody started to tear up. So it got really awkward for all of us. So I said, Neil, Glenn, why don't you guys switch hats and do something funny, make us laugh? So that's what they did. But it was, thank God we had that, because we needed something to break up the seriousness of the impact to keep you on the ride for the full 58 minutes. Yeah. So it was tough. He had about a terabyte worth of... right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, a little trivia. The film, it's 868 gigabytes of data. So every time that I got an answer, let's say from Katie, and I wanted to find an opposing one, I had to sift through 800 gigabytes of data to find that answer. But to answer your question, it was even harder to go to FPA meetings where I knew we had interviewed people asking me, am I making the movie? And it was so hard because I can't tell them. And I will be honest, and Chris doesn't even know this, I edited many sequences that after they were cut and ready to be delivered, I deleted them. And I'm like, that's not good enough. And then when we lost our editor, and then we changed direction. And the biggest thing is also, I don't know if you guys are into music. How many musicians do we have in here? Okay, I used to produce music. I love music, okay?
And actually, three.
Yeah, and I based a lot of my edits and re-edits once I put the beats and the music in. And then I said, none of that flows. Let me go back. And so as far as is it hard, it's incredibly hard. And every time I watch the raw footage, I'm like, oh, I should have put that in there, right? My answer is this second, not right this second, but absolutely yes, because I think that we didn't finish. I think we actually cracked a monster egg. And I think if we did a woman in podcasting, if we did a content creator, YouTuber, whatever it is, we're more than ready to continue this ride because I think we're specialists in it now. And I think people trusted Chris and the relationships he built for over so many years to let us into their homes with a bunch of cameras and stuff. But the last little cool trivia is Danny, and I'll let it go with this. Danny would check on me, and I would kept telling him, I don't know what's going to go on. And he was so excited to see his part. He literally came to the hotel the day of PodFest, saw his part. And guess what happened at PodFest? We didn't even play it. We faded out because my father-in-law passed away, so we just cut it, right? Yeah. So he didn't see it until the original premiere. So it just goes to show how much it changed there. So I absolutely want to make another one. I think it's just a little bit of timing.
Just,
this one,
just to film make the storyline so people understand what you're saying. We have a local group in Tampa called the Florida Podcast Association. 50 people now show up, and we've launched like 100 podcasts, and many of them have monetized, okay? 4 days before we're supposed to premiere it, like I said, we're going to premiere it at PodFest in front of 400 of our peers. Is it 4 days or 3 days?
3 days.
It was 3 days. His father-in-law had a massive heart attack. Him and his wife then had to go to the hospital and make the most, hard decision, which was your wife was given power of attorney, right?
Yeah, and she didn't know it.
Right, she didn't know that. So she had to make the decision to pull the plug or not. So he passed away 3 days before we're ready to premiere the movie. So now he's making funeral plans. Our other director photographer, Willie, steps in and starts editing. Then Neil was editing the day of at the hotel. We were supposed to show the movie at 7. I had to announce, guys, it's going to be a first look, a screening. And I had to explain to them, do you know what the difference between a screening and a premiere is? So just so everybody's ready. And then they bring the movie to us at like 6:30. And we have to like ingest it in the theater before we go live at 7. We have 300-400 people outside the doors. I mean, it was like a pressure cooker. But he delivered. I mean, he made it happen.
Any other questions? Oh, a couple more.
Better question is, do you want a sequel?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
You guys did an amazing job. Please, a round of applause. Film is absolutely not easy. My question is to Neil, as the director. You mentioned this was your first film, right?
First full-length documentary.
Film. All right. As a screenwriter myself, but also has like a 9-to-5 job, it's very difficult to kind of find time and find that inspiration to take that first step into creating film or music or whatever you're creating. My question is, what was the inspiration that gave you the courage to take that first step into filmmaking?
Wow.
Thank you.
Ooh, that's
I was gonna say, what gave me the courage to do this one? I'm like, Kim. First step to go into filmmaking, bro, you're taking it back. I got tired of being mediocre. You know, when I grew up, I was one of six kids. I had six amazing brothers and sisters that are always outshining me, dude. And when I told my dad I wanted to be a filmmaker, he was like, no, you're gonna do this, you know, Venezuelan, you know the deal. But when you're passionate about something and that's your calling, that's what your heart beats for, that fear kind of goes away. And once I actually started to make films and started making relationships and meeting people, and the biggest moment is when you think of something, you screenwrite it, you write it down, and you shoot it, and when you deliver it to an audience, there's no better feeling. And once I knew I could do that, that I had the ability and power to think of something out of the air, create it, find an amazing team of people, do it, and show it to somebody, I was addicted, bro. And so now it's just a matter. What this was someone giving me a chance, seeing me do tons of short films, thousands of videos, just never had the right opportunity, the right person that could see farther than me. And what this was sitting at PodFest, me going into podcasting, trying to find yet another way for people to see me. And someone else finally said, do we have something here? I think between you and me, because it only takes two people to agree for something amazing to occur. I got lucky. I got three. But the first step, dude, you're amazing already. You just got to do it. And you will attract the right team, how Chris attracted us. And just do it, man. Just start making films and never stop. Just make them no matter how good or bad they are. Just keep going. Sooner or later, you'll do what we did. No, thank you. Yes, thank
Next
you.
Question. I think we have like 10 minutes or something.
Good evening. First of all, congratulations on your film and thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
I have two statements and when noticing. I'm not sure if it's a question yet, but it's definitely a noticing. So the first thing I want to say that it was very inspiring as a non-podcaster just to see the connection that everyone seems to have in the community and to see that connection through that it's an actual movement. And so I feel inspired just watching it, not even being a podcaster. So thank you for that. Secondly, I feel very encouraged because my husband is the podcaster and, you know, that's what he does. And when my family's always asking, well, what is Andrew doing? Like, what is he doing? Like,
still asking Danny that.
Same here.
Right. So it's really encouraging because it's like we're not the only ones that trying to explain what it is to be a podcaster. It's like, you know, well, it's this thing where he records and people listen. And, you know, so thank you. And to know that I have that unconditional support for him, regardless of how successful he feels or what he sees or even from the very beginning, just to have been behind him 100%. Or more than that, really, because I was just like, well, whatever it is that we have to do, I'm with you. And so to know that this is a real thing, so I appreciate that encouragement being, you know, his supporter. The noticing, I noticed that in the film, there was the thought that the podcasting is going to be something that continues to increase, and we haven't even gotten to that point where it's going to explode yet, and there's so much great future for it. As a high school teacher, I noticed that a lot of my students are more into the video. So when they're talking about expressing themselves or where they're going to get that expression or to get that education or to get that connection with the outside world, they're going more to video. They gravitate to Lively. They gravitate to YouTube. They gravitate to Vine or what Vine used to be and all of these other things. So I don't know what the question is, but can you respond to that in relation to the growth of podcasting and where our young people seem to be?
And what grade is your class?
High school, so 9th to 12th.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, let's say 9 to 12.
So there's a huge niche, just so you know, in kid content for podcasts. Clean comedy, you know, different things that parents could play for the kids in the car. Because people don't want to play explicit stuff while their kids in the car. So just know we've been researching that, and that's a huge void that still needs to be filled with a lot of content. Kids do like video. Podcasting is also growing, and they're consuming quite a bit. So it's just right now we're going through a transition in a lot of things. Like I had a lady in Tampa I was teaching about the future. I talk about future stuff, and she said, I'm having trouble with my son. My son's 5 years old. I said, what's the problem? She goes, he keeps talking to Siri. I said, well, what's the problem Siri's causing with your son? She said to me, he's learning things that I don't want him to learn. I said, what are they, if you don't mind me asking? She goes, one is religion. What do I do about that? I said, the only thing you can do is be open and honest how you feel.
Welcome
that your son
to
is already at 5 years old and starting to form his own opinions, which is unheard of. I mean, when I was 5 years old, we were going down go-karts, falling off, you know, into the street. But this kid now is studying the life questions at 5 years old. And then she said some teachers are having trouble because he's going past the learning level by watching videos, you know, Khan University and different things, by 2 grades. So this is just the new world we live in. They are going to absorb audio as well. It depends, like gaming. You know, Danny's got audio. They're listening to it. They'll find it. I just think there needs to be, right now, there needs to be more content in that space for them. And it's not there yet. Podcast did not take off as fast as video did for a very key reason. Because as you heard them say, iTunes, the store, didn't get created till 2005. Then you had the phones. Well, remember, only recently were we able to sync up our phones with our car's Bluetooth. So people are still switching that over. There's people that still don't have access to switching to Bluetooth. Because then what happens is you don't listen to the dial. You wind up listening to podcasts eventually. Once you cross the chasm to listening to podcasts, more than likely you're not going to be listening to a majority of radio shows. Your behavior will shift. That's what we're already seeing. Right now, the stats are there's about 350,000 podcasts out there, of which 180,000 are active. Some, you know, people start them and stop them. The prediction is over the next 3 years, over 1 million podcasters will be coming online. And the reason is all these niches that you heard them talking about in the movie, there's no one talking about them. Like, my wife and I have two parrots. We love our little birds. There's no one talking about parrots. It might sound like a very simple idea, but you're talking about 100,000 people probably waiting for someone to talk about a sun conure, an African gray. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if that niche isn't even filled, imagine all the other niches. That's a big category. That's not like a small niche. So it just content. And you could be one of those people that delivers content for that niche. They need it desperately.
I just want to briefly just say thank you, because podcasting is a marathon, and him not having that support, he will pod fade and he will be gone. So thank you for supporting him. That's why he'll make it.
Yeah.
Okay, we have time for one last question. Got one back here.
Guys, thank you. You guys know this, but just to share with everyone else for just a minute. 2 years ago, I met both of you. Danny, it's been great getting to know you. But I met you guys on a marketing cruise that, Chris, you put together. And my wife and I attended. We met a bunch of great people. And that kind of just stewed on the back burner until late last year. We decided we wanted to be closer to what you guys are doing. So we uprooted our family from Pittsburgh, moved down to Tampa in January, just to be part of the community that you guys are building. We didn't really know what that meant. A month later, I was speaking for you and the crowd at PodFest. I was not a podcaster. It wasn't my element. I was there to share something about branding. Well, 2 days into saying to everybody that asks, you know, they say, what's your podcast about? Oh, no. I'm not a podcaster. That got real old. And you guys watching this, you may have felt the same way when you hear about the kinds of things that people are not just podcasting about, but very successfully sharing the message about. Every time that I've been at a screening for this movie so far, someone in the audience has the same revelation that I did. Wait a minute, if these guys can share their message, maybe I should be doing that. So the next day, I broke the news to my wife that I had this new ambition. I'm launching a new podcast. So that's the effect that this has had on our lives. My question is, do you have any idea how many other people have started podcasts in the last couple months since the launch of the film?
My cousin, she never podcasts ever. And just recently, she just started recording because of the movie. She got to see the screening in Orlando, and I believe also Tampa, and also Miami. She saw it already 3 times. I said, every time I see the movie, it pumps me up to create my own podcast, so that's cool. So,
My 9-year-old niece left the Tampa premiere wanting to podcast, and we just got her equipment. Katie, we are honored to coach people. One of my awesome, most amazing friends is here that we helped launch, not because of the movie. He was just before the movie, but I think it inspires people. And at every premiere, at least 2 people have told me that they are going to podcast or have started to already look into microphones. Danny sent us an email. Some of his friends were already looking into equipment. So this is really, we made this for people to find their voice. That's it. Whether it's a YouTube channel, whether it's podcasting, just become a content creator and get what's in your little head. Your high school teaching mind has something that another high school teacher wants to hear. And that's all it is.
The reason why, so PodFest is a very special conference, so we don't follow the same rules other conferences follow. One is we might have keynotes that are 15 minutes. They might be a half hour. We'll do an interview keynote where we interview someone. The next keynote is a storytelling, because we use all the stuff that you use in podcasting for this thing. The attendees are our speakers. So we actually find talent within the podcast community. So we don't really recruit to bring in outside speakers. So that community kind of fueled this movie. I believe, because, this is what I was thinking when I was like, I think we could create this. When you tell someone about a podcast, they'll tell you, I don't get it. Do you know why that is? Because they have to hear it. But most of us learn visually. Visuals are very important. Early on in business, I remember I had a membership group and I was trying to sell this individual to join. And they kept telling me, I don't see the value. And I got really upset. And then, I was talking to my coworker, I said, this is like the third person in the week telling me they don't see the value. And the coworker said, have you ever thought of putting logos for each event that you do? Because maybe it's the visuals. True story. I created visuals. The next week I went out, everybody joined. So I realized they literally, it wasn't like they didn't, like metaphorically, they literally didn't see the value. So with podcasts now, and you mentioned this, when you have a family or friend that says, what is this podcasting thing about? Instead of you telling them, listen to this podcast, you know, say, go watch this movie. There's these guys that captured it, and visually they could now understand what it is. So we believe that this is the missing link that will help us get to maximum mass to help a lot of people out there that already have communities. They just don't know that they could use podcasting as a medium to carry out their voice. And podcasting is a lot easier to produce than like a YouTube channel. And the reason is, if anyone's tried to do video, when you see these kids that have like PewDiePie or whoever these characters are, you think it's easy, but they're like artists at the highest level, and they're doing hundreds of edits. Whereas audio, where's Matt Passy's outside? There's people, and even Neil does this for a living. He has a company that edits podcasts. So if you need help, talk to Neil. For a very small amount of money, you could get help to get your podcast edited and up to iTunes. Whereas video, I don't know, man. Video, it took us a year to create what you just saw. And we're exhausted. And now we're going to spend a year. And now we're going to spend, think about this. Now we're going to spend a year promoting. We're up here. We just left our home in Tampa.
And she wants a sequel. Right?
Jessica.
Yeah, no, we heard it. So tomorrow. So Neil, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we already have, we have things already. I'm already working with some YouTubers. We have some cool stuff in the works, but I don't want to tire out Neil, so I don't want to say anything. But we'll be doing that at the end of the year.
I'm in, man.
But the way you could help us, and this is very simple. The reason why we made these commemorative books and we want to give to you more than just watching the movie is we need to get the word out. And the only way we could get the word out is right now he and I are going through what's called quality control for iTunes to get in there. We found a distributor, so we're self-distributing it because we already have an audience. Thanks to Danny and all our podcasters, they have a community that we will launch it to. It's been now 40 days,
about a month and a half,
and we're still going through the quality control process. There was 1 second that was off in what they call initial quality control, and he and I called them. We said, we don't see the problem. They said, yeah, the fifth frame is missing. And I'm like dumbfounded, so I'm asking Neil, what is she talking about? If you slow down a second, there's 30 frames within the second. Number five was missing. Because so they were dinging us on a 30th of a second to fix. So it's very, when you talk about movies, it's very technical. There's all this technical stuff. So we have to fix 3-4 edits right now that they asked us to fix. We'll do that on Monday. And then eventually we'll get into the iTunes store sometime in June. We'll have it available for you to pre-order it. What we want to do is create the price as simple as we can. We're probably going to put it at like $5.99. You could buy it, right? And then we'll launch it sometime in August. The price will go up to $9.99, right? We need thousands of people to buy it because our goal is to get this movie to number one of the iTunes chart and kind of like have everybody take us this podcasting, what Danny does, take it seriously to understand like this guy, that little girl Yami that we interviewed, she was crying because he helped her start her blog site. After we were done, I was like, well, how many people go to your Twinfinite? At the time, she goes 6 million. I go 6 million. How often? She goes a month, every month. Now it's 14 million a month. She had 6 people working for her. I look at Neil like she's doing better than all of us in the room, you know. So it was amazing. But she had built that because if this man didn't inspire that girl and take her to the conferences, introduce all the people he knows, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Now she's a power player in the gaming niche. So we want to make sure like this movie gets seen by the Yamis of the world, so that they could have that voice and they could build something powerful. But we can't do that if you don't help us by purchasing that pre-order. And if you have relatives or family, say, hey, I want you to pre-order this. It's going to launch sometime in August, and it'll help these guys get it seen by the world. And that's the help we really need. And we'll send you an email. Many of you signed up, but that's what we need your help in. But we really appreciate your time coming out to see this.
And I believe...
Thank you for doing it.
Katie?
Yes, yes. Okay, so you guys, we're going to end tonight with... you guys had the opportunity to put your names in to win. We have 3 DVDs, and these are probably since you've seen the movie, this is probably what you're going to give to the person who says, what's a podcast? So we're going to start first.
Have Jessica, pick a winner.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
We'll be happy to sign these if anybody wants them signed.
Yeah, when we go outside, we have the program guides. We'll sign that. And if you'd like to buy a DVD, it's $20. We'd be honored if you did that.
Elba Ruiz.
Elba Brunello Ruiz. Cuccini.
Elba.
Oh, there you go. Let's give a round of applause.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It is awesome. We go way back.
Also, we have a Matt Passy's in the back. We need audience reactions. So if you could, he'll be interviewing people. If you could just say what you felt when you saw the movie, we need that for marketing. So any feet, like if you could go there. Matt, raise your hand. If you guys could see Matt, if you have something to say or how it impacted you, we
it will
really
help
appreciate
us
it.
Big time.
Yeah.
Just say you love us and I'll thank you.
And the second movie goes to...
So exciting.
He's like me.
Rhonda Manis.
Rhonda.
Hey, ole, 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 ole.
Come on down.
And the third one. Would you pick one for me?
All right.
Okay, who is it?
All right. Emmanuel Canceres.
Emmanuel.
Epa.
Family
did good.
That's Danny's right. Family right there.
So who's starting a podcast after they leave here?
That's pretty cool.
The last thing, you guys, if you do want another way to support, we do have DVDs available out there to purchase for $20. It is such a great thing to pay it forward to somebody else who you know needs to feel the way that you feel right now. So we would love and appreciate that support.
Oh, wait, can I take a quick selfie?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Thank you guys so much for coming out.
Thanks a lot.
It means
for
the
real.
World to us. Right. It really does.
You gotta be in it. You wanna hold my mic?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, everybody, go crazy. One, two, three.
Yeah. Awesome. That's awesome. You guys.
God bless you guys.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna be outside if you wanna talk.
Danny, you and Neil, if you get behind the table, we're gonna give you markers to sign.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
A word from my sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you will get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed videos, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for limited time, Gamertag Radio listeners, that's right, limited time, you could get 20% off WD SSDs with coupon code WDGTR. That's code WDGTR. Find out more at WD.com/GTR. And that's one thing, too, that Paris and Pete have been taking advantage of this big time because now they're editing a lot for not only the podcast, but they're going to start doing a lot of the videos. And, you know, when you're going to start doing editing for especially 4K videos, that takes a lot of space, a lot of space. I had a video there that I recorded with, I believe it was with Michael Pachter, with also with Aaron Greenberg, Albert Pinello. That was big time. This is just a 1080 high quality video. That was like over 2 gigs. So I can imagine 4K videos. That takes a lot of space. Also, when we went to E3, we captured a lot of these videos too, or in 4K. Each video was like, over 22 gigs. So you need something like this that's going to help you get more space, and it will help you also not to worry about running out of space and everything like that. So take advantage of this code WDGTR when you go to WD.com/GTR and take advantage of this offer. Thanks to Western Digital. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio. I hope you guys like the Messenger's Q&A session. And we have some more stuff coming up in the future, so stay tuned. The movie's going to be on iTunes sometime in August, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully you can check it out. Finally check it out after a whole year of promoting this movie. So, all right, up to next time. We're out. Peace. Thanks for always supporting GTR. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.